Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. 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 Hello.
What's up, peoples?
What up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of The Menu. It is Big Red and I, Brother B.
And right now, I'm just probably going to curse Big Red out later. I ain't going to do it right now in front of anybody. Because I was calling you. I was calling you, texting you. First of all, I didn't know if you fell in the toilet or something like that. I didn't know what was that. I'm checking on you, and you ain't, like, nowhere to be found. I'm like, oh, what the hell is where's Big Red?
I was eating dinner, and I know we were getting ready to come on soon, so I said, let me get the dinner on and eat the dinner, and here I am.
Oh, dude, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't rush. You got indigestion. You can't do that, man.
I wasn't rushing.
I text you. I called you. I called the house.
My phone is in my room.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's in the room.
It's in the room.
I know what the hell happened to you. You know what I'm saying? I usually hear from you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I've been working. I worked last night. I'm a little tired. I've been, you know, things been going on, but I was like, yo, where the hell is Red? I thought you got abducted by your cat.
By the aliens?
Like,
oh, the cat aliens?
Yeah. I thought you got abducted.
Well,
I was like, yo, what the hell?
At this point in time, I would, you know, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, with the cat.
With the tinfoil hats. That's right. I'm waiting.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting for him. He's sitting outside like Linus was sitting there waiting for, what's his name, the Great Pumpkin?
Pumpkin, yeah. Yeah, okay. He's waiting for the catnappers.
Cat Pumpkin.
Okay. Yeah, the Cat Pumpkin. Great Cat Pumpkin.
The Great Cat Pumpkin.
What's going on, Red? How you doing?
Oh, man, I've been just trying to make it. Had a bad case of gout this week.
Okay.
For those that don't know what gout is, it's when the uric acid in your body crystallizes in your joints and it gets inflamed and stiffens up your joints. It's like kind of like an arthritis. But
okay.
I think it's worse than regular arthritis.
Okay. Now, see, the menu is not only good for just other conversations. We actually talk about health and, you know, other things from time to time. And see,
yes.
Now who those who didn't know what gout was, because, you know, no, it's not a drink, and it's not a drug. It's a medical condition that is treatable, okay? It's not
something that,
you know, it's going to make you go out and start eating flesh. All right, so be careful. All right, look it up. It's education right now going down on the menu. What?
That's right.
Block Talk
Medical
Radio.
Education.
Yeah,
Block
yeah.
Medical Radio.
Yeah. But once again, what up, everybody? It's the menu. Big Red and Brother B. Guest calling numbers 347-324-3395 and Red.
Yes.
I have not gotten a chance to really talk to you since I took a little trip out to Cali.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to say, even though I didn't really get to do much, I did enough for the time that I was there. But, yo, Brother B got love for Cali. Brother B got love for the West Coast. Like, yo, I'm not big on flying. I don't have a problem with flying.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yo, being on the plane for 5 hours was just not my thing.
Oh, my God, 5 hours. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, 5 hours. Yeah, it's like
Now it's
like,
sounds
remember,
good to me.
Remember, I, you know, like how in the supermarket where they get they stuff and like they may have like toilet tissue in a big ass box before they pack it out. So
mm-hmm.
it's like sitting in. So to me, it was like sitting in a big ass toilet paper box,
no.
for like 5 hours. Yeah.
I think I started wilding out on that plane.
Yeah, it was.
I'd be like,
next on the plane. Yeah. it was just a bit much. So, but
yeah.
I mean, it was all good. But yo, Cali, man, it was definitely different. The vibe and the zone was different,
mm-hmm.
but it was so relaxed. I'm not one for heat, but it was comfortable
right.
out there. It was like it was hot during the day, but at night it cooled off. Man,
okay.
Santa Monica Pier, Hollywood Boulevard. Big shout out to
mm-hmm.
my nephew, your cousin, Rodney Jr.
Yes,
who lives out in L.A.
Yeah,
and he showed us
mm-hmm.
around. But
okay,
yeah, it's definitely a trip that you'd have to take because, like
okay.
I said, it was time just went slow.
Right.
Time
okay.
just really everything. It was just real relaxed, man. That's the main thing. It was so relaxed that I really just didn't feel like talking too much. I just was just taking it all in, man. It was mad.
I didn't feel like talking too much.
Nah, I was just taking it all in, man. Like, and you know what? Like when I started seeing the palm trees. And stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was in the Beverly Hills Cop movie, because you know, in those movies they be seeing the palm trees and stuff like that. So I was just like, wow, like yo, I'm looking at palm trees right now. I was like, I need to travel more often. You know
oh
what
yeah,
so,
oh yeah, definitely.
So I had the whole soundtrack.
It's a lot to take in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had the whole soundtrack in my head, and I was making my own movie while we was driving. I was making my own movie in my head. It was just like fast and faster, furious and more angry, like Never Say Die. Like, it was crazy.
You know, that's what it is. It's like sometimes we so busy with the hustle and bustle of life, and especially living in New York. It's like in New York you don't have a breather, and you get tired of seeing you're gonna see people, everybody. It's like, but to me, in New York, it's like it's people on top of people. So I think anywhere
mm-hmm.
you go, even if you can't take the trip out to Cali or, you know, go to another country or anything, just any place besides being in New York, I think is breathtaking. I mean, for anybody, I think it'll be breathtaking for me because you don't have people on top of people, and people are just different in other states and countries, and they're just different than they are in New York.
But, yo. And that's the thing, like, out in Cali, like, it's like, it was just mountains. Like, I really, like, you had to be there to really see, like, damn, Cali
mm-hmm.
is really big. Like, anytime you turn around and just see mountains, I'm like, damn. Like, I just
mm-hmm.
see a lot of mountains. You know what I'm saying? It was just,
I see a lot of mountains.
Cali, it's like, Cali is just big. It's like, really, even the highway. I'm like, yo, that's one highway I wouldn't even try to cross if I had a skateboard and a jetpack. Like, you have to be in a car. Because it was just like the highway was huge. It was huge, but everything was like mad clean. Because we
mm-hmm.
was in Long
that's
Beach.
What I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
We was in Long Beach and we drove into L.A. But, yo, it was definitely a great experience. You know
that's good. Good. Beautiful.
I needed that. I'm not gonna lie, man. Like I said, I'm not big on heat, but Cali's a place I can see myself just actually chilling. Like I can pack a bag and live out there, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right, because they have a different type.
Cool.
It's a different type of heat out there. It's a different type of heat. It's like they got air out there. It's like here's like a small type of heat.
Yeah, it's humidity.
Yeah,
the humidity out here. But it was definitely It was definitely, and you know, we got to see you. You know, Marie took a picture of
mm-hmm.
your boy Star on the Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh yeah,
Michael
you got
Jackson,
to send me that.
And she put her hand in front. I think it's Chinese Man's Theater or something like that, where they
Chinese Man's Theater
and stuff. Yeah. Like they have, he put his, you know, his hand in the cement. She put her hand in there, and she was just like, "Wow, it's Michael Jackson put his hands here." So,
that's beautiful.
Like, yeah.
That's beautiful.
So, you know, it was a good time. It was, we definitely meet a lady, and you know, Marie, we had a good time, man.
That's good, good, beautiful, wonderful.
So, you know, we got to pack your bag, get your ass over there.
Yeah, I got to get out of here. Look, yeah, I got to get out of here.
And we can't wait. And we can't wait for the cats to kidnap you either. So.
Right, exactly. Come and get me. Shoot.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Can't wait for that.
No doubt.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, man.
That's
big shout out to Cali. Big shout out to Cali, man. Thank you. Thank you for the love. And you know, I was supposed to get off the plane. I was supposed to get off the plane and play Tupac. But I didn't do that, man. I don't know. I got distracted. I was on amp. I was like, I'm going to play California Love. As soon as I get out there, some other West Coast. Man, listen, I got so relaxed. I ain't even listen to music. I mean, I didn't even care. I was just like, yo, I'm chilling. So it got me.
Man, you can play that in your head.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know.
You can play that in your head.
That is
funny.
Yeah, man. But yeah,
oh my God.
So tonight's topic, and the only reason why, you know, we were supposed to do another topic, but I had to switch it up, is because I had saw this interview with a gentleman that is down with, I believe, the NOI, Nation of Islam, one of Farrakhan's people, and he was talking about Future and how he seems to be like the, I guess, kind of like the leader of this whole like drug and music thing. And he was kind of breaking down how, you know, where Molly's come from, like it was created in a, you know, in a military lab, and where THC comes from, you know, all of this stuff was created in a military lab for, like, you know, chemical warfare, whatever. But it's supposedly tested on black people. Now, so tonight's, you know, topic is mumble rap, you know, what the hell is it? And, you know, all of this kind of goes hand in hand. Because, you know, when we were coming up, I mean, there were references to, like, you know, marijuana and alcohol and the music, but, I mean, nothing ever really serious. Because, like, people want to try and say, oh, weed is a drug. All right, marijuana is not a drug. It comes from the earth. Until you start to process it, you put it through a change, then it becomes something else. You know, but otherwise, I don't like that whole, oh, it's a drug. No, because if it was a drug, then the government wouldn't have started selling Colorado, and even marijuana is legal in California.
Right.
So, you know, if it was so much a drug, they wouldn't start doing that. But anyway.
Well, that's an argument I haven't, you know, with certain people.
Oh, well, yeah, well, you know what? Certain people use it as a crutch. Escapism. Sometimes it's their escapism away from certain things like that. That could be with any other narcotic.
Or even alcohol. Yeah, I get that.
It's an escapism.
But,
you know.
Yeah, I get that. But not to cut you up, but what I try to kind of put out there is that you're right. It's, you know, it does come from the earth until you process it. You're right. But see, the thing is, and I hate to put, you know, color into it, but because it's our people that are using it, it seems like because our people is using it, it's something wrong. Like it's like they make us, like it's wrong. Like they make something wrong with it.
Well, see that's the media, because once again, the media is only going to show what they want people to see, and they want people to see a bunch of you know, young African American males and women, you know, using this and partaking in this. When, if you look at the most of the dispensaries, listen, do you really think out in Colorado, where the sale of marijuana is, and many different types of marijuana is legal, you think, and I would love for anyone to show me some proof. Once again, the call-in number on the menu is 347-324-3395. How many African-Americans, male or female, actually own a license to open up and have a store?
Absolutely. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is, it's like, who owns it, who's selling it, but they want to show who's smoking it.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the, and see, that's the whole thing. It's not just... It's not just black people. You know what I'm saying? It's everybody.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there that are smoking it, whether they want to admit to it or not. It is what it is. But I will say, like, this whole mumble rap thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't even know how, and I'm not knocking anybody's hustle, but you put yourself in a position to be knocked. When you turn around and try to say this mumbling shit is hip-hop. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it sounds a little bouncy and because it's being lawless and that, like, hip-hop's supposed to make sense. Being a lyricist, being an MC, it makes sense. There's no real creative aspect to this when you just go in the studio and you're on the beat and you drinking and something in your cup and you're smoking this and then you just start saying, oh, my booty hurt, and I'm about to go to work. My mother's.
They're not
hurt.
Even
saying that. Like, we just start making up.
First of all, they're not even saying that because, see, what you just said, that makes sense. They're not even saying that. So I don't even listen. All I'm hearing when I hear that stuff, all I hear is. That's how it sounds.
And you're absolutely right. And I'm like,
see, the way you're saying it is like that old school. That sounds like an old school rapping still, like where you can understand and you're making sense and you're making sense. They don't even make sense. Like their rap does not make any sense because nothing is even rhyming anymore.
Yeah, well, this is true. I mean, this is true. And I also find it an issue because, once again, you know, hip hop of old. Yeah, it had its elements of, you know, a few things. But I think now we're getting a little too out of control with the whole drug references and a little bit of the violence. Because, all right, I really wasn't into the song. I really don't care for the artist too much. But I just had to check it out. Once again, Future. And I was listening to the song on, I think it's Mask On, Mask Off. So as soon as he comes on, he's saying Molly Percocet. He just keeps chanting that. And I'm saying to myself, like, is this really dude? Like, he, like, all right, you just sitting up there talking about rolling a blunt is one thing.
Right.
But you're talking about pills. And you're basically encouraging. You're saying, like, you can't say you're not encouraging because you keep repeating it. So you want somebody to, you know what I'm saying? Like, really?
Right.
So Molly Percocet. So you're talking about actual pills. You're talking about drugs. You're talking about, like, a narcotic.
Right,
something
exactly.
That's going to just alter your mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, really? Like, this is what
something
it's come
that
to?
Can get addicting and possibly kill you if you ain't careful.
Exactly.
Because those are prescription drugs that a doctor is supposed to prescribe for you for whatever. I'm not really too savvy on what
the Percocet. I don't know what they do either. I mean, I did some research. I did a little bit of reading, and it's like some of the ingredients in these drugs are used for depression or whatever stuff like that. I don't get it.
And
I really don't get it.
Right. It's like, okay, you're chanting that, and once again, like I said, you're going to have somebody out there, and they're going to really be trying to get Molly's and Percocet, just like you said, if it's used for depression, then If it's used for depression, that means when the person takes it, it's supposed to not, they're not supposed to be depressed anymore. At least that's what I'm thinking.
Well, okay, so I mean, basically, a Molly is I'm not gonna hurt myself pronouncing this big ass word, but okay, is ecstasy slash Molly.
Okay.
It's a synthetic drug that alters mood and perception, awareness of surrounding objects or and conditions. It is chemically similar to both stimulants and hallucinogens, producing feelings of increased energy, pleasure, emotional warmth, and distorted sensory and time perception.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm.
I don't want to take no shit that does something like that.
Exactly.
Like, did you notice where it says, like, distorted sensory and time perception?
Right,
so basically,
exactly.
You're going, it's like you could be going up and you're going down because it's producing feelings of energy and emotional warmth. So, I mean, next thing you just start hugging everybody, I love you, man, and all that. Really?
Right, like, who wants to say stuff like that? Well, why? Why would you want to take something like that? Why would you want to take something like that? Why would you?
I have no idea. Especially you take it and you couple it with maybe some marijuana or with a drink.
Right.
Knowing that it's wreaking havoc on your body. But some people are just looking for the feeling of it. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, but I don't want that type of feeling. I wouldn't want to feel like that. Like, to me, that's like, that makes you feel like you're not in control of yourself. And see, that's when you have that, that's when things start to happen or things happen to you and you have no control of what's happening.
Okay, so.
And I don't like feeling like that.
Okay, so now I just looked it up. So it's a narcotic. It can treat moderate Percocet. It's a narcotic. It can treat moderately severe pain, and it is a controlled substance. High risk for addiction and dependence can cause respiratory distress and death when taken in high doses or combined with other substances, especially alcohol. Okay, what did it say? Can cause respiratory distress and death. When taken in high doses or when combined with other substances, especially alcohol.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, I mean, that's enough for me. It's bad enough, you know, I take medicine for, you know, sugar and all that stuff, and there's so much side effects to that shit, it's crazy. But if you're really sitting here saying that it can cause respiratory failure. It can kill you, especially if you put it with liquor. But yet people are just popping this stuff like it's okay.
Right, exactly. And
it's in the music.
Just like you said, it's in the music. They are basically glorifying, because if you think about it, looking back in the days with all right, like, just like you said, they talked about, you know, smoking a blunt, you smoke weed or whatever. But guess what? When crack came on the scene, you ain't heard now one rapper talk about, yeah, I'm about to light this crack up. And you ain't never heard, if anything, they were talking about the dangers of crack and the danger of smoking crack and how this chick was so fine and then she started smoking crack and now she looked like a certain way.
As a matter of fact, yeah, exactly. But I also remember Woolers?
Remember who?
Woolers. It was
crack and weed
mixed together.
Now, you
had to be on some real extra stuff to smoke Woolers. Like, your life was just different if you were smoking that stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, your life was just different because nobody really, like, that stuff that cats heard about, but you had to be pretty, like,
They laced the weed with the crack and all that. Yeah,
exactly. And I'm like,
yeah.
I don't even know where they came with the name Woodo, and I don't even want to know.
I don't want to know that.
But
why does it have to be in the music? Why do you have to start your song off with talking about Molly's and Percocets? Why does any of that? Like I said, I'm not knocking no one's hustle. I can, if you want to talk about marijuana, I don't care. You talk about that all day. You want to talk about drinking? You can talk about that all day. But now you're trying to make it cool. You have individuals in this so-called music industry making it cool to take prescription pills.
Exactly, knowing what it'll do to people.
Exactly. And I'm just like to me, is this really what mumble rap is about? Because your dumbasses are so stupid from popping pills that you don't even know what the hell you're saying on the track. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm wondering where it probably came from. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Right, maybe that's what it is. But if you think about it, that's like, okay, let's go back a couple of years earlier before this. Let's talk about when Lil Wayne came on the scene and he was talking about the cough syrup, you know, mixing the cough syrup with Jolly Ranchers and all that other stuff. Now, that's another thing that you're glorifying that can possibly kill people. Because you can't take cough syrup, cough syrup is just for what it is. It's an elixir to control your coughing. But they're drinking it in large amounts. Yeah, it can kill you. That's overdosing.
Well, yeah, but on top of that, they're drinking it with liquor.
Putting Jolly Ranchers in. Like, who the hell? Yeah, like, who the hell thinks for, like, what kind of dead EBT welfare ghetto stuff is that they thinking about? Like, who did that?
Like, I don't even like taking cough medicine if I don't have to, cause I don't like the taste of it, but you're trying to tell me that some, you know, people actually made a drink out of cough medicine is
exactly
ridiculous. They want to call it lean. Like, dude, yeah, it can
lean
you right into a grave.
Exactly.
Like, I don't put lean your ass right into a box. I don't understand. I really don't understand. Like, I don't understand why. And I'm not blaming mumble rap, but when I start hearing these references of stuff that, like, as humans in general, we got enough shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it comes down to the African-American youth, we really got enough shit going on without adding prescription pills and drinking cough medicine. And you ain't sick in the mix. And then you want to exploit it and make it sound cool in some dumbass song that no one really even understands.
Right. And at the end of the day, guess what? See, we don't have rehabs to go to.
Exactly.
Okay, we just have to work it out. And once you get on that, once you get on prescription medication, because for one thing, and I hate to say it like that, but remember, prescription medication, that was like a white kids thing. They go in their mother cabinet or their father cabinet or their mother cabinet because she popping all that stuff all day long because she's a housewife and she drinking wine. Also, all she do is pop pills and drink wine all day long. So guess what? They was easily accessed to get that stuff because, you know, their doctors are going to prescribe them with the real stuff. But see, with black kids, and guess what? When their kids get on certain things, they got a rehab to go to. They're always going to put Johnny in rehab. Yeah, but guess what? When black kids get on certain things, we don't have any. What rehab? No, you know what rehab we get? They get jail.
Exactly.
Because they going out there robbing somebody to try to get those pills or those mollies or those Percocets or trying to rob somebody's pharmacy because those drugs are in that pharmacy.
Exactly. And for the life of me, I just don't understand, like, what's the, what are we really getting out of it? You know what I'm saying? Like, but first of all, one thing that I did get from the interview was that he was saying that Future, he doesn't take drugs. Now, I don't know if that's true or not.
Right.
But at the same time, you're a hell of a hypocrite. You're a hell of a hypocrite to turn around and talk about the drugs and you don't take them.
Right. But see, that's the music. See, that's the thing. That's what the music industry, the entertainment industry, period. That's what it's about. They're about getting that dollar. And how whatever way they can go or go about getting that dollar, they're going to get it. They're going any way that they can to get that dollar. And if Future got to send, if they, you know, if he got to send on the song and say Molly Percocets and this and that and the other and drink lean and all this other stuff to get that dollar, because that's what because he know they know what their target audience is. So he said, oh, put him on. Oh, you made a rap about this, you know what? Or try to, you know, they sitting there talking to me, you know what? Try to, you know your people better than I know your people. So you know what? Maybe if you say this and you say that, then we can get them to buy your album. But then they also can go out there and, you know, try to kill themselves and get that drug, and then next thing you know, the jails will be filled up. Stay filled up, rather. Not even filled up, but stay filled up. So they know that, you know, they know that that we don't have a way out like they do when certain things happen.
True, but my problem is this. Okay. Let's just come down Front Street. Because we know that there are no African Americans that own any major labels,
mm-hmm.
or own any distribution companies.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know.
Didn't Master P have his own label?
Yeah, he had his own. But we're talking about like us. We're talking about like Sony.
Right.
We're talking about cues like that. Like I don't think Arista, like. Because there used to be a certain amount of labels. There used to be, I remember maybe a couple of years ago, there used to be like a big six. Now, I'm sure there's probably just a big two or three. You know,
okay,
because
right.
they're busy
right.
buying each other, you know, buying,
yeah.
you know, out one another. But the thing is, none of us own that. I remember, you know, when I used to be in the music and there was one of the dudes, he was a half owner of a very infamous studio
mm-hmm.
in Manhattan. You know, he asked me, he was like, oh, I need, he said spit something. So this dude wasn't black. But after
mm-hmm.
I finished spitting, he wanted to tell me. Now, mind you, me and the dude was cool. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? I appreciate, you know, everything that he did for me at the time or he was trying to do. But the whole thing was, this is someone, and I have to say it like this, but this is someone that's not like me, that doesn't come from the area that I've come from,
mm-hmm.
to actually tell me what it is about hip-hop music. And
mm-hmm.
I just had a serious problem with that, because my whole thing is, like, hey, listen, once again, I'm not knocking anybody's hustle, but it's my pen, this is my heart, this is coming from my head. And
right.
You're telling me that it's not street. The same streets that you may walk on, I live on.
Right,
so,
exactly.
To a degree, and all of these CEOs and all of them, yeah, they see street. They may walk on street, but they'll walk on the street with security, but they'll never live on it. And
right,
I've always
exactly.
had an issue with someone who's not in the music, who doesn't create it. It's like, you know, you're an owner of an NBA franchise, but at the same time, you never played ball. So who are you to make these goddamn decisions if you've never been on the court?
Right, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, caller 4727, you're on the air with the menu. What's up? Hello? Caller 4727,
yeah,
you're on the air with the menu.
Yeah,
what's up?
Bad, man.
And caller 5891, you're on the air with the menu. What's up?
Hey,
what's
no
going
much,
on,
man.
Y'all?
Hey, what's up, K-Dog? And how you doing, sir?
I'm good, man.
Doing all right.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know if you're talking to me or other brother.
Your name, sir?
Nah.
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing, brother?
Hey,
man.
From
the Absolute Truth, from the Absolute Truth show, we heard this, brother.
Oh, okay.
Up,
yeah. We talked before. I'm good,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, man. This is K-Dog, man. What's going on?
Oh,
listen,
what up,
man. Man, listen,
so,
I was listening to the show, man, and I just got to say this about the state of rap music. You know, here, growing up here in New York City, you know, back in the days when we used to, when rap was just coming out, and, you know, you listen
to
it
out in the park.
We used to do it out in the park or chill out or something like that, you know, chill in the party. Sorry for that, but I can say that the music as of late has been trash, and I'm going to tell you what happened to it. See, you talk about record labels, and it's been years. Record labels no longer own themselves because you know why? Corporate America owns these record labels. You can have one company owning at least three or four record labels. So, you know, this is what the record labels are all about, making money. And you
well,
know
it's
what?
An industry. It's the industry now.
Yeah.
Before it was
the
like
industry.
A business. It's still business, but industry changes.
Right.
It takes the warmth out of it. It's cold.
Yeah, it takes
exactly.
The art out of it. You just turn
it
into a product.
Out of it.
Uh-huh. That's what
you
it
know,
does.
And you know, back in the days, do you remember that Third Base video where
the gas face,
and that interlude? Yeah, and the interlude where Gilbert Gottfried is like the record exec saying like this, "Hey guys, come in here, sign your names on the dotted line, man. We're gonna make you fresh and dope. Keep the hats, and screw them over later on."
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what's going on right now in the rap industry. And you know,
well, that's been going on, especially with black music. That's been
oh,
going
yeah, with
on
black
since
music, of course. Because you know
yeah,
what? This is our music. This is our music, our art form. Look at the type of music that we are the ones who made the music. And right now, what they're doing is this: is that they're taking people, and you know what it is? They're brainwashing you into thinking you're making money. And right now, the art form of rap, the true art form, is dead because you don't really have rappers out there. I'm not gonna say all of the rappers are bad because you know what? Hey, you're talking to someone who listens to Kendrick Lamar. J. Cole, you know, you still have good rappers out there.
Yeah,
but
they're
however,
not going to have them out for very long.
No,
well, not,
they're
not going to be out
because
for very long,
they
but
want,
they're not,
you know
they're
they
not a hot commodity because they're
no.
not mumbling.
Right, they're not mumbling. That's what I'm getting to. Because let's take, I'm going to just break it down a little. Hey, Nas, you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Nas, I want everybody to hear what I'm about to say because I'm about to blow it up. Okay.
Well, I got some toilet paper for you.
Yes, let's look at the history. Back in the, all right, in the early days of Hollywood, right, the black actor that they would have doing the buffoonery and all that
shucking,
you know,
and
lazy shucking and jiving,
mm-hmm.
Stephen Fetchit. They would pay Stephen Fetchit. Stephen Fetchit was not a stupid man. He was smart. But however,
mm-hmm.
he would succumb to those roles because they paid him for it. Now let's fast forward to 2017. Do you think there's
mm-hmm.
a modern Stephen Fetchit going on
That's
right now?
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, but we got to hit on two fundamental points here, though. First point is we got to remember a lot of that mumble music is not made for it's not made for our age range. So we got to be careful
exactly.
when we talk about the youth because the same adults said the same thing about the music we listen to.
No,
right.
my mother used
nah,
to
the,
like
the
rap
point,
music we
oh, hold on,
to.
Hold on. No, I understand, but we listen to some bad music too. If you put on some of that stuff we used to ride to now and ride down the street with your kid in the car, you're going to turn it off. So, you know, that's the reality. Let me go to the
right.
second part of this is, this is the position we've always been in because of poverty. If you have poverty and you don't invest in yourself, then you're going to end up selling your music to somebody else who doesn't have the same identity with it, doesn't see it
exactly.
as an art form, sees it as a way to make a quick buck.
True.
So before you know it, they McDonald's-ize your music, so it's just quick, cheap, and push it out there. We did the same thing with jazz, R&B, you know what I mean, rock and roll. We did it every genre.
Well, why
now, the biggest
that?
Culprits in this, well, here's the kicker. This is the biggest culprits in this is the black independents and small black record companies. They said hip-hop wouldn't last. They said this isn't music. They're not playing instruments and wouldn't buy it. They could have bought this billion, multi-billion-dollar industry for a song way back in the day. But they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They said that music is trash, and they had to go to the other labels who would cheat them at every turn, give them that advance and make them think they had something, and on the back end, you know what I mean, rob them blind. So that's the biggest culprits in this. Remember, they said this music wasn't viable. This wasn't real music. So they didn't sign up all of that talent they could have signed up.
Right. So now they figure oh, it's a big commodity now. So now they want to make the money.
Exactly.
Because they
figure,
they got up there. Oh, rap is lasting. Oh, it's 25 years plus, and they're still rapping.
Oh no,
we got to make some money.
I can give you something else too. These rappers are getting screwed over because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
The record companies themselves. They're going to say like this, here's a $300,000 cash advance on your record. And meanwhile, like you said, Nas, you know, poverty does something to you. Now, you see that $300,000, you know what that does to your brain, man? It makes you do some crazy, wild things. And you're going to do some real, real idiotic things. Like, you see that $300,000. You're gonna spend it on jewelry. You're gonna spend it on sneakers. You're gonna spend it on useless things. You're gonna go ahead and buy the most expensive car and stuff. But I got news for you. That $300,000, it ain't yours, man. It's not for you. It's theirs.
You gotta pay that back.
They hold it on to you.
That's why it's called an advance.
That's the difficulty of it. Let's say you challenge them on the deal and say I'm gonna get my own lawyer. You come in with your own lawyer, then they say you're difficult to work with. Before you know it, your album never comes out. They talk about your problem, and other people are out there shining, and then eventually you end up signing that horrible deal. So, you know, it's a game from the beginning. You know what I mean?
Look at Bobby Shmurda. You see what they did to him?
Bobby
Shmurda. He was the hottest thing on Instagram and Facebook. As soon as he got in that room and he started dancing on that table like a jackass, what'd he do? Now he's sitting behind bars for it. Because you know what? You was rapping about everybody you killed and what you did and this and that and the other and you dummy. He was the biggest dummy.
Well, there's another chapter with him, though, because that's the racist criminal justice system in this country to where they use the RICO law to try to tie you to anybody else who's done any criminal activity and basically make you either snitch and ruin who you are as far as his career and his reputation, or he'd have to do that time. So they basically used other people's crimes against him, man, and ruin that dude's life. It's crazy that they can do that.
But they use the data on your phone
to say you're connected to this person. You're connected to that person.
That's
conspiracy RICO law. Bam, they got
it. Wait a minute.
The record label didn't give a damn.
He's not Tupac, so they're not going to pay for the high finance lawyer that they would need.
Exactly.
He was in there with a regular ass lawyer against
First of all, my question, which I don't expect anybody to be able to answer, but my question is, why is there this love relationship with like rap or hip hop music and violence? Like, why? Like, about violence
to make money?
We wanted to answer that for a good week.
Yeah, I know.
It's anything that makes money, bro.
But
Brother B, it's anything that makes money.
But I think it's all about
money. Wait a minute. I get that. I get it. But first of all, a lot of us don't pick up a book and read until we get into a situation where we're forced to read. So I'm sure you got a lot of jailhouse lawyers, but how did they become jailhouse lawyers? Because they're actually in the system now and they have nothing else to do, so they educate themselves. You should be educating yourself before that time,
exactly.
Because as soon as you do something stupid, they're already assuming that you don't know what's going on, and they're going to get you. Because they will take, law enforcement will pick apart your Facebook page, will pick apart your songs, and everything you do just to get you on something. And the thing is, you keep doing the same damn thing over and over again, which makes their job easier.
Let me hit on a major point with this, though, because I've been wanting to get into this for a while. All right, this is the biggest obstacle we're talking about when you talk about the love for the streets or the connection to the streets. Black people's median income is $9,000 as far as just generational wealth. White people's is $153,000. So when you have that kind of disparity, what does that mean? That means the black market or the streets are actually supplying households, paying water bills, paying light bills, paying for birthday parties, different things that are associated with crime that normally you would say, man, that's, I don't know if that's morally right, to where people aren't in a position to judge. They just in a position to say, man, this person helped. I don't care what you say. Such and such helped me. So we're willing to deal with it. But the real problem is poverty across this nation. So, and like I said, when you talk about median income, you're talking about that's 50% above and 50% below. So we got 50% of people in this country of us who make less than that. You see what I'm saying? So that kind of poverty means you're going to rely on that black market. So people look at dope boys in a totally different way. It's kind of like the mafia stuff, when the mafia would be the one paying for a lot of people's, you know, utilities and getting by in life. So people had a different relationship with mafia back in the day. So it's that same type of thing. So it ain't necessarily a love for bad things.
But you know
it's just people trying to get by.
But the sad part, brother, is when they did it, it wasn't really scrutinized. Well, I'm sure there wasn't as much media out there as it is today. But still, it was different. Is it
until the bodies, until the bodies pop up, they're right.
Exactly.
They don't care.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's why I say this again, time and time again. People, pick up a damn book and read. Know what's going on, because you know what? The thing is, they're using this music, right? They already, like, messed up rap and trying to make it, like, oh, it's up the streets, or they're glorifying drugs, they're glorifying the negativity. There was a time that rap used to be about positive. It used to be about lyrics. It used to be about what's going on. It was all words put to poetry. That's what rap was all about. And now,
but you know where rap went wrong? Well, as some people would say, rap went wrong because it started going around the globe, and it started bringing attention to the bullshit that white America was doing.
Exactly.
What's going on in America in general? So other people started seeing it, and they was like, "Hey, you guys are hypocrites." And they didn't like that.
And society determines a lot with how rap comes out. Remember, African medallions, native tongues, all that popping. All of a sudden, the black unemployment rate shot up to depressionary levels for everybody else. And then what happened? That free trade thing called crack came in. People fought over the trade. They said, we got to get these people off the street, start doing mandatory minimum sentencing, long-term sentencing. And then what happened? Then you didn't have fathers in the home. Then you didn't have the family unit together. And you had people living in impoverished ways fighting over dope territory. So, you know, society destroys a lot.
Of course.
And then
on the
back end tries to blame us and said, look at those rappers over there. He rhymed, like Chris Rock said, he rhymed fun with gun. Look at that over there.
Yep.
After they did what they did. So that's the disaster here.
And they
it
use
was
us,
on the plan.
And they use us, and they continually, and I'm going to say this, they use us as guinea pigs.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Oh, yeah. Woo. Oh,
but
yeah. And did you know the sad thing about it? I'm sorry, Brother B. The sad thing about it, these young people do not see it. They are so disconnected from what's going on, and it's like no matter how you try to enlighten them, no matter how much stuff that you do, like documentaries and stuff, and you try to show them, it's like they're disconnected. All they care about is Instagram, Facebook. Oh, my friend, he flipped 500 and made it 5,000. It's like they don't think, oh, my friend is a bottle girl. It's like, are you serious? Like, you can't.
We're online lying like hell, man. We online lying like hell. 50% of Americans make less than 30 grand a year. That's 50% of all Americans. And we online on Instagram living these lies that Diddy was goddamn.
Yeah, and that's what I want to know. Because
so we lying like hell out here, man.
Like I tell my 19-year-old son, I would love to know what friend of yours is flipping 500 into 5,000. Then when you see him on Instagram, he got all these Jordans and all. Where he getting all that from? I don't even have that.
You know
and I like it.
Well, you know what? We become slaves to social media. That's the thing. Social media. We're all slaves to it.
I got one better for you, K-Dog.
Yeah, whatever.
We've become slaves to fakeness. We have become slaves to lies. To the point where it's the lie. Like, and I have to say it, the pilgrims of America, it's been so, it's like this country's built on lies. So now.
Big time, man.
Number 45, lie. So lies is okay. So yeah, you can have a bunch of you could be in a picture on Instagram with a bunch of Jordans, but those could be them knockoff Jordans.
Yeah, that's exactly what I told my son. I said, you see this person, and they got every time you see them, they got a different pair of Jordans. Those could be fake Jordans. Those are probably not real.
And for the most part,
scamming is real high right now.
Exactly.
There's a lot of people who are going to go to jail for a long time pretty soon when they start wrapping it up.
But hold on.
This is the other part. They don't want to shut it down right now because that shit is stimulating the economy.
Oh, come on, man.
They're going to shut it down soon.
But that's just like crack. When crack came out, look at all these young boys. All these young, like I said, I tell my sons all the time, I have friends that are just getting out of jail or they're still in jail because of the crack game. Now it's the scamming. Yep. Now nobody wants to sell, you know, they're not selling the drugs no more. Now it's scamming. But do you know that you're going to, like I said, you're going to jail for a long time scamming.
Yep.
Okay, at least crack, you had a chance to get out. With scamming, you're not getting out of nowhere because that's FBI stuff.
You know why?
Yeah, they're going to stack those charges. Identity theft, fraud, larceny, they're going to stack those charges.
Because it's a federal offense.
Right.
Yep. Federal offense. See, a lot of cats' brains are limited and they think local. No, some of these crimes are not local. When you tamper with an ATM machine, that's a federal offense. When you start
using somebody's credit card information.
That's a federal offense, and they sending you away for football numbers.
You're dumb behind going in the Gucci store trying to buy a damn belt. Are you kidding me?
Let's talk about the idea of that. Even with the scamming and everything else, we sit up and go spend in somebody else's zip code. So you're keeping somebody else employed.
Yep.
You're keeping some store owner wealthy
and
making sure he can pass it on to his children. So
they're going to continue to make money.
And this
they're
going to
continue to make money.
And this is how disconnected, this is what I'm saying, how disconnected these young people are because they're not
and
even thinking about the bigger picture.
Because you know
they're
what?
Not even
and,
thinking
and
about that.
And this is the thing that I blame. We talk about the young people and this whole rap culture. Let's look at their parents. Now, parents, teach your children better.
Please. Teach them what?
Grandma, mom and dad, and grandpa
is on Instagram and Facebook twerking and all kinds of stuff. So how do you expect them to teach these kids anything?
And they
worst part about all of this is we never understand what's happening to us until 10 years later. Then we do the docs, but we don't understand it while it's going down and we blame ourselves. So war on drugs, the mandatory minimum sentencing and everything else, we blamed on ourselves. We thought we were the problem. When we didn't realize it was the society that decided that they had made a place for us. They shipped out the jobs during the 90s, and they made a finance capital. And then what'd they do? They started funding prisons. So they had to fill those beds. And who did they want to fill those beds with? We already know.
That's right. Absolutely.
Exactly. And you know what?
But you know what?
It's still going on.
Yep.
Well, of course, and they ain't gonna never stop because anything that's profitable to them and that's it kills two birds with one stone.
That's fine. That's
fine. I'll take it a level deeper, bro. All these people with the MAGA hats on and telling you they Trump fans and all this, The majority of them are working class
or
underclass.
Make America great again.
And they got an opioid problem. They got an opioid problem in their neighborhoods, and they're going to start fighting over that trade.
Oh,
and guess what? They're going to start sending them to prison. Well, they're about to start sending them to prison, too.
Because you know
they're
going to
make money off of them because they ain't got no jobs for them either. That's the other part of it.
But you know what? When you guys when we talked about the crack era, now the crack era, it wasn't really a problem for them because you know what? They were laughing, saying like this, yeah, look at them. They using that crack. But yet, as soon as their children started using crack, they went crazy.
The way you said it, they using that crack. Absolutely. When their kids was coming to our neighborhoods getting the damn crack. Yeah, exactly.
It became a problem.
Yeah.
Just the idea that you would have the same drug at 100 to 1. So they were buying powder, our poor people were buying crack. So 100 to 1 disparity in sentencing on that, that's crazy. It's the same drug. The only thing is assault is removed and you made it hard, so you made it into crack. It's not more addictive. All the propaganda stories we heard over the years about it make you a zombie and all of that wasn't true. That was just made to justify locking black people up at the rates they did.
Yeah,
it's crazy now, man.
Yep. I still don't understand why you have these futures, these little yachties, and these other cats. They feel the need.
You're going out.
Actually.
I want to, tomorrow. I'm going to. I'm
put this out. You know what I'm saying? Put this out there in the music. Like I said, to a degree, I can understand. I can not some, not fully, but. You're talking about marijuana is one thing. You're talking about drinking, that's one thing. But when you talk about popping pills, you know, I don't know too many black chemists, you know what I'm saying, that are really out there in the lab making certain things. And, you know, I have to, you know, somewhat agree, you know, with the whole thing of, some of this stuff was probably made in a military laboratory for some type of chemical warfare, and they got tested somewhere. And they
Think about it though, man. If you can't employ your population at a decent rate, the best thing to do, give them drugs to kind of get them to kind of, you know, lean back a little bit, ease up a little bit. And also, if they make a mistake, you can demonize them and the drug. So it's a good way to justify, you know, what you're dealing with. Because think about our economy, man. When y'all was growing up and I was growing up, if you dropped out of high school, you could still go work at a factory and sweat and put in some serious effort. And you can raise a family, own a home, have a car, all that. Okay, those factories are gone. So now what? You see what I'm saying? Like, they got to be honest about what they've done here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen.
Are you kidding me? Honest. They're not trying to say they did something wrong. They ain't. Please.
Nope.
Please.
Nope. Listen.
Oh my God.
That's why these things are going on now. You look at the whole industry. You look at the whole rap industry now. It's all gone negative. And once again, I say this: we as a people have become guinea pigs. And you know what? They use us. They'll say like this: hey, oh, we could use. Oh, hey, guess what? They know their people. We could sell this to their people. We could sell this idea. And you know what? Young people don't get it. Like, that's a hundred number. But then after, when we go up on stage in these shows, they have us go there and do all this bouncing and jumping and doing all this stupid nonsense. You know,
look, our three biggest issues, man, we are individualistic, meaning I got mine, fuck you. We are materialistic, meaning getting something means beyond anything, family, friends, whatever.
Getting
things is what matters. Right, I'm getting mine. And then the last thing is we are illiterate, meaning we have the ability to read but choose not to. So those three things are banging us in the head right now.
And you know what? They're getting us on this. They're getting it. They're getting us, and we don't see it. We're like, they've done studies. They've been doing studies, and they will continue to do studies. There's a certain amount of money that's devoted to certain types of studies within the government. Like to say, listen, we know these people don't do this,
And we know they don't do that because we study them. We watch what they do. We do charts. We have been studying for hundreds of years.
Dude, let me hit you with the irony of that. Harvard last year, they did a study on poverty and homelessness. They got like a $3 million grant to do the study. Meanwhile, at the same time, the black lunch workers at their damn school were striking for $15 an hour. So those two things were going on at the same time at that school. $3 million study on poverty and workers striking for $15 an hour.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow. Unbelievable.
At the damn campus.
That's an oxymoron.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. And once again, with the mumble rap, I heard what you were saying earlier, brother. Like, you know, it's a different generation. It's a different time. But I had to do a little bit of studying. So I was listening to some of this mumble rap music, and I'm saying to myself, there's no food for thought.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
I don't care if it was Kool G Rap, if it was N.W.A., if it was freaking Scarface,
Nas,
what's the name? Wu-Tang,
whatever. Listen, no matter what was being said, even Old Dirty Bastard, rest in peace, brother.
Yep.
Yo, there was always some food for thought. There was always some food for thought.
Always.
Right now,
with
crumbs on a beat. It's crumbs on a beat.
No,
yeah, they are.
Yeah, but think about it. Think about it, though. Why is that? And I would say the best example would be YOLO. The idea of things are hopeless, things aren't going to get better, so just live your life to the fullest, get whatever you can, smoke, drink,
yep.
and sex as much as
but
you can
you,
because you got to live your
so,
life to
so
the fullest. So
to
why do we have a youth that's in that much despair? You see what I'm saying? To
but
where they connect
in,
to.
How, all right. So how could you be in despair if you're on Instagram flashing money? How could you be
exactly.
in despair if you turn around and getting
that's...
certain deals and you so you
front once again?
Man,
because yeah, you can lie on social media. You can't
but
lie
you,
in
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Because
you can
lie.
Listen,
you don't have to be. You don't have to be. But see, the sad thing about it, guess what? You're going to get caught out there one day. Somebody out there know you. For real, the real
right.
knows
yeah.
okay,
you.
Okay, somebody out there
didn't
know the real you.
You was on church.
You was on church on Sunday, man. Where do you get all that money from?
Church.
Because people are on
say, you owe me $40. What you talking about? You
exactly.
Social media is the norm. Social media is what makes money. It's all about this. Well, you know what? I'm on social media. I want everybody to see me. No, let me just say I want everybody to see me. Everybody.
Yeah, but think about it though. If you can live an imaginary life on social media, it makes it easier to not have to deal with what you're actually dealing with in real life. So
right.
it comes with
exactly.
a escape.
So it's like so in other words, it's like the new crack. It's just a
yeah,
new
right.
version
Good
of crack.
Point.
Yeah.
Good point. Good
but
point.
You know, but
just as addictive, honestly.
Social media.
Just
but
as addictive,
the
honestly.
Social
they're,
media
look,
not
man,
out like that.
Right, but
it's
just as addictive,
like
there are young girls who post pictures and wait on a like all day, and their self esteem is based on whether they get that like or not.
Don't even get started on that.
Listen,
mm-hmm.
look how
mm-hmm.
naked.
And they will be on their butt naked.
Yup. They'll go on Instagram. They'll go on Facebook. They'll go on Tumblr. They'll go on Twitter.
FaceTime.
They will do
anything
just to get Snapchat. They'll try to get attention. Like, look at me. Look at me. Like, are you serious? Are you serious?
Constantly refreshing, hoping some likes or some mentions came in. Staring at that phone all day. Hoping those mentions come in. And if it don't. They got they in a different mood. Like that determines how your mood is. Think about that, man. That's it's deep shit. And Facebook does algorithms on how you look, how you're postured, what your face says to determine what they're gonna try to sell to you. So if you look like you're depressed, you'll start getting vacation ads. If you're a girl, you'll start getting makeup ads. And you know what I mean? Just the way that they're pinpointing their audience, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or what you post for the day. Yeah, because I even go on, like, when I go on my Facebook, oh, Keisha, how you doing today? It's going to rain. Listen, I don't need to know that.
Man, listen.
I don't need you to tell me it's going to rain today. Like, leave me alone.
You know, it's funny.
Leave me alone.
I go on Facebook if I need to go on. But other than that, who cares? Who cares what people think?
Right.
But then after some people, they
go crazy when I'm
on
bored.
Facebook. Exactly.
I mean, listen. I like some of the quotes that be up there, but you know, otherwise, I'm not in it on Facebook.
Right.
I mean, because of course, you know,
crazy
we do show the menu, and
yeah,
you know, it's part of the whole
right.
internet thing. But I just go up there to usually see what the hell is going on, because I stay away from the news. I stay away from, you know, what I'm saying, the whole TV news and once again news in print. And the thing is, because it's depressing. But now Facebook and is starting to take that depressing turn as well when they're posting all this depressing stuff and people posting all this stuff that really just don't need to be there. And I'm like,
right.
I don't want to see that. Like, I want to see.
Yeah, that. And we're older, so we don't have that same tie
like
into
that.
It.
Right,
right.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just that,
but you know,
it's
worse?
Just sad.
What's worse is that
we can use it and get
over
off.
35, people who are
right,
over
exactly.
35. And
yeah.
and going up on social media and posting the dumbest things ever. And then after
mm-hmm.
you have people on there who broadcast their entire life on social
right.
media.
Right, everything they're doing. The whole damn day.
This is why you look at Mumble. This is why, getting back to Mumble Rap, you see this going on. I mean, we don't pick up a book and read anymore. No, we don't. I mean,
well,
what
okay.
is going
here's
on?
Here's another deeper thing with that. They talk about social media and just how much you deal with your phone. It messes up your ability to have attention long span. So can you complete tasks in 3 hours like you used to, just sit down and, you know, commit yourself to a task or not? And it's looking like the youth have less ability to do those type of things now.
Oh, my
because
God.
They'll,
yes,
they'll
they
be
do.
Doing a term paper and say,
yeah.
okay, let me check Facebook real quick. Then
yep.
60 minutes later, okay, let me get back to that term paper. Like, that's what social media does. It's a attention economy. They need you engaged. They need you stuck
yeah.
there. So
yep.
they try to, you know, tailor it to where you'll stay
yep.
on for longer to, you know, longer than what you actually plan to. So,
yep.
you know, that's another problem too, man.
Yep. They have no dead
yep.
experience. Oh, my goodness. They don't.
It is a huge problem. But, I mean,
it's a serious problem.
I mean, when I was doing my research, I mean, I caught a headache just listening to some of these different songs. And, brother, brother Nods, I get what you're saying. It's the music. Listen, if this is the theme song or the soundtrack
this
to this
generation,
then this is a bad fucking movie.
Okay, but think about it though.
Bro.
Think about
it.
Read the signs. Right, but read the signs of what you see. You hear what kind of music it is. You see what kind of president got elected. Just think about what
you
see. Think
about
you're
what
talking
you're
about
seeing.
A
you're talking about
society.
A decay.
Hello,
in society.
Mom.
Yo, I don't know what happened right there.
I don't know what happened right there.
Yeah.
Donald Trump got that big old win.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? I don't like where hip hop is going or where it has went. Like, I really don't. I mean, you can't
yeah.
listen. It'd be different if I was outside of looking in, but you're talking about a person who used to like either A, I was going to buy dinner, or B, I was paying money for studio time. I was paying money for studio
mm-hmm.
time. So me and my people were making that sacrifice. And to turn around and see what it is today.
Right.
I mean, listen, I used to be one of them cats. They used to run around Queensbridge and, you know, cipher and stuff like that. To see what it is today, it's disgusting.
Because they're
it
not,
is.
You know what it is? They're
it's
not.
Personal, it's personal.
Just what
personal.
You just said.
Remember,
just what you said.
I remember,
you
back,
rather...
I remember back in the days. I remember, not to cut across us, but I remember back in the day when this cat, we was in Queensbridge. We was in the middle of Queensbridge. Dude was like, yo,
mm-hmm.
if you talking anything that you ain't living, we're going to punch you in your head.
Exactly.
That was usually the rule. You couldn't spit something that you wasn't living. If you was doing lyrics, then you was doing lyrics. But you couldn't talk all this big stuff that you wasn't living and, and expect
you know
to be respected.
But no lying, no biting.
But you know why?
It was respect of the art.
Exactly.
And that's gone.
I'm going to tell you something. Those guys that used to sit there and rap all the fake stuff, they would get checked.
Yep.
There would be some real street dudes that would come up and check
you.
Be like, all right.
Now, nobody's checking them. Nobody's checking
them.
But think about our frame of reference, though. We heard The Message when we were real young. Illmatic was probably one of the classics we bought early.
Oh, yes,
right. And all that
right.
stuff. Now think about a youth whose frame of reference is, man, Rev was real good when Lil Wayne was on. Like, that was their first classic album was something Wayne put out. Like, that's their frame of reference. They never heard Illmatic. They never heard Reasonable Doubt. Like, think about that, man.
Right.
I mean, you're right.
But see, just like
you're
said, you'd rather – now, listen to what you said. You would have you had to decide whether you was going to eat tonight or go for studio time. These young people don't know nothing about that. Because guess what?
No,
when
they
coming into the industry, they coming in like perfect example. Drake, how he talking all that mess that he talk with Dawg? You live in a house. You used to live in Canada somewhere.
Thank you.
In a house with a car, and you got a mother in the front. Now your father may have been a drunk or whatever he was, but your father was there. Guess what happened to these dudes that we
was,
call,
first of all, I don't know.
It was good. Like he's a dude
father's
who did
Jewish.
Classic music
father's
in the 70s, made big money, and you had an acting job. And to be honest, man,
exactly.
If back in our day, somebody would have threw him off the stage early on,
exactly,
like KRS-One did your boys.
Of course.
So it's weird.
Yo, because you know what? This is the thing. Drake grew up in
3054.
Exactly.
Drake didn't grow up in the hood. Drake, all of a sudden, now he's acting on hood. He's talking all this mess. I'm like, dude.
Absolutely.
You're not from the hood.
He got with DJ Khaled.
3054, you on the air with The Menu.
He got with Rick Ross and lost his mind.
Oh, you know, everybody know who this is.
Yo, my people, calm down. Calm down. Mumble rap is
Yes, Hot Rod.
Calm down.
Yes, Hot Rod. Mr. Absolute Truth himself.
Yep.
Well, guys. Hello, guys. I'm just here to have a...
Hello.
I'm here to ask you guys a question because I have to go put my daughter to sleep. So maybe I might rap to her to go to sleep. So here's my question to you guys. Maybe talk about this earlier. I don't know. Hello, Nas. Hello, K-Dog. Hello, Big Red. And Brother B.
What up?
Welcome back. All of a sudden, this weekend, everybody's talking about 444 by Jay-Z. And there was one song called N-Word Still This or N-Word Still That, whatever. It's about black people, you know, trying to be empowering black people. But it being now, we talk about this N-word used back then. How do you feel about the song of the N-word, Brother B? Do you think it sends a message for the people, or it does another artist make money from us?
What, you talking about the song that's out with, like, the story of O.J.?
Yeah, the story of O.J., exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay. Story of O.J.
Basically, a song with a message towards the black youth today.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I mean, what he's saying ain't nothing different from what was being said and what most of the youth already know.
Brother B, you took that right out my mouth. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yo, no matter what you do or how you do it, you still a nigga. Like, put prime example, Philando Castile, may the brother rest in peace. He's a prime example. No matter how legal you are, you still a nigga. That's all it is. You still black, no matter what.
Right. That O.J. documentary that came out last year opened a lot of people's eyes to how foul O.J. was as a man. So people don't respect him, and Jay just chin-checked him, really. So, I mean, it was an interesting song. He kind of played with some things on it, but it really showed, like, how far O.J. had fallen, man. That dude was in that sunken place for real.
O.J. was nothing but a sellout, man. I'm keeping it real.
Yeah.
And that's
I
what
never
I told
liked
my son.
OJ.
Son
I never
son
cared
today.
For him anyway.
Yeah, me not
yeah,
really, but that's what I told my son.
No,
I said, y'all just learning the story of OJ. We've been new to the story of OJ.
Everybody,
maybe he's enlightening you guys to it. I said, we've been through that story.
He lost.
Yeah, and people confuse black people celebrating OJ getting off as if black people liked OJ. No, people were giving a middle finger to a system saying, ah, now it happened to y'all. That's what people were doing. We were laughing at the system that did them wrong finally after doing us wrong. But they thought we were behind OJ. No, we give a damn about OJ.
But Brother Nodge and everyone else, what I find so interesting, and I'm willing to bet my next week paycheck that after that OJ trial went down, there was a couple of white people that said, oh, don't worry, that nigga will be back. And sure enough, what happened a few years later? They got him.
Oh, yeah.
They set him up.
They got him good.
Oh, yeah. Now, are you kidding me?
Set him up and overcharge.
We don't stay away.
That's crazy.
Set him up
and you can't really say stay away, though, because they set him up and overcharged him. Because the private lawsuit, he had to pay all that money and everything else to that family. So memorabilia was important. That was his money. So you got some people steal his memorabilia. You set him up with some other guys. They come in. They got guns. He don't. They set his dumb ass up, record everything, and then they throw a charge on him. Lock him up for 30 years.
OJ set him up. OJ couldn't stay away because he was a media whore. He wanted to be out in public. I'm like, dude, let me tell you something.
Nah, he needed that money, bro. He needed every one of his trophies, bro.
Yeah, he needed that money.
What he should have done was keep his low profile. But instead of that, he thought that we had his back. We like, hell no, we ain't have your back, man. You ain't have our back. You done lost your blackness a long time ago.
Right.
So, I think
just snatched the football.
I think everybody was just happy that OJ got away with something that a lot of black people have never got away with.
Right,
got away with murderer. Give a quote, quote unquote, got away with murderer. So that's why
To be honest with you, I don't think he did it. I think he know who did it, but I don't think he did
it.
Right, I don't think
he did it. Set his ass up again. I don't think he did it. I think he know
big
who did
time.
It.
Big time.
I don't think he did it.
I wouldn't be surprised if he pointed it all out. Maybe he was telling them what to do. But that dude with them NFL knees jumping and chasing people down, that don't sound real realistic.
The only time I like OJ was he was in that Naked Gun movie and they pushed his ass down the stairs at the stadium. And he was in the wheelchair. That's the only time I liked him.
But you notice the roles that he played. He didn't play anything of any significance. He was
basically like the
he was a clown.
Y'all know he was in Roots, right?
Yeah, he probably was Chicken
Little Orange.
Wasn't in Roots. Oh God, I can't.
It goes to show you though, man. The check don't change nothing. You are who you are.
Exactly.
And if you reject who you are, you end up in that sunken place to where you could seriously come to the conclusion that you love that woman to the point to where you'll kill her. You're crazy enough you could think you can get away with it or pay somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, to hell with OJ. He deserves everything. Well, I ain't going to say he deserves everything he got.
Because
I ain't got no love for him. But Jay was really insightful with that song, though. Jay was really insightful
and the thing is, once again, Brother B said it best, and I said it when I first heard it, and everybody that I know was posting it up on Instagram and Facebook. I'm like, yo, this is stuff that I know all of us, but this is stuff that I preach to my kids all the time. This is stuff that I preach, period, to people. He's not saying anything different.
But coming from Jay, that means something, because he's in a spot where he could take that position. A couple years ago, we heard people like Pharrell saying they were new black or some kind of other foolishness. You see what I'm saying? So it's easy if you got wealth to fall into that hole, but Jay clearly showed he ain't falling into that hole. And, you know, I mean, he getting respected for this album, which is good. I got to hear all of it. I just heard that.
That's probably the only song that they gonna let you get his album, but that's the only song that they're gonna make a big deal about, because that's what they do. They take one song and make a big deal about it and let you get the whole album.
He's using the N word gratuitously.
Right, exactly.
Let's just put that one out there, you know, first, and it's kind of, you know, shitting on the OJ factor, which I'm sure there's some people out there that
they're
clapping,
enjoying that,
saying like, yeah, like, you know, yeah, that's
good.
But
oh,
he's getting back at him.
Yeah, I get it, and I'm sure everybody gets it. We've been telling you all the time. The biggest point is he didn't have to do it
because he could easily go that other route. Easily.
But,
right.
but the N-word works. Because it caught
it caught your attention. It worked because the way he used it.
It wasn't a typical – exactly, and it wasn't the typical N-word. He was just teaching you a lesson.
Right.
That's something right there.
Absolutely.
I heard this, I was like, man, that's deep.
Yeah, I was like,
I mean,
okay.
considering the way you listen, once again, when I did my homework, oh my gosh, I'm starting to get a headache thinking about it. The way they use the N word and they use some other words, like, it just didn't make sense. Like, mumble rap, it's not, I don't think it's supposed to make sense. And I think that's
how people capitalize off of it.
Because the whole thing is, they could use the N-word and it's not using it in any way to kind of connect. Most of their words or their stories are just not connecting with anything. So my whole thing was just like, wow, I just see the real hoax here. Because if you got some white man, and I have to say white man or some Jewish dude offering you $1 million to put out, you know, to perform this song that makes no sense, then what sense and what validity do you guys?
Right.
And the crazy thing about it is, those execs have no idea what's going on anyway. You're like,
no,
when you go back to that Bobby Shmurda, they just like, yeah, yeah, N-word gun, yeah, yeah, keep doing that.
Yeah, yeah,
make
exactly.
Us some money.
That's
all they care about.
That's what I was saying earlier. That's what I was saying about these record execs. They have you sign on the dotted line, and this is another thing that people need to realize. And, people don't read the contracts when they're signing them.
Oh, no.
They don't read
the contracts because
all they
read them, but they're in legalese. So, I mean, the average person ain't supposed to understand.
That's what legalese is for.
You're supposed to confuse you. But, man, just think about this. Substitute cracker for every N-word you can think of on these songs, and they would not get radio play. They would not get pushed.
Oh, no.
That song by Flyers years back,
oh,
that 400
no,
years. Now, you know, he lies a lot, but, I mean, in that song, he said some real shit, and it didn't get radio play. What was that girl, Def Loaf or whatever, about how she whatever? Now, substitute cracker and think, not ask me if that song gets airplay. You know what I mean?
No.
They go full stop when you start talking about them.
Yeah.
Then it's like, whoa.
You start talking about them.
That's what they do, and it's like, you know, they don't, that's why you don't hear about Kendrick Lamar. You don't hear about J. Cole. You don't hear about them because, you know what, they're not out there promoting this nonsense. But anybody who's promoting the nonsense, like I said, that's why I brought up this modern-day Stephen Fetchin.
Yep.
This is what they're
doing.
And we're being used as guinea pigs, but we don't see it.
Nope.
But you know what?
Not at all.
Once again, I have to say, it just goes back to people just wanting to eat the steak, man. Some people just don't, they know the steak is fake. They know certain things.
You're the matrix.
They don't. Yeah. You're right about that.
Because
they don't want to change. They don't want anything to be different other than what they're doing. And some people rather live in the fantasy. Some people rather live in that lie. And for you to try to bring the truth to their lie, they'll destroy you. They'll do anything to destroy you.
They get mad at you.
Yes, they will.
And the deepest part about that is that's just like a medication
because it needs soothing all the time, and it's not a real out because all of the problems are still there. So all that confusion, all that insecurity, all that shit is still there wrapped up in it. So it don't go away. When Joe Budden had that little altercation with them young brothers, man, them young brothers got real mad at that dude just from the look of what they thought he was saying. By how he was acting. When Joe Budden was like, all of this is a farce. I'm supposed to be a member of the media. This ignorant dude is asking questions and saying hi 50 times. He's not a talented journalist. Like, Joe Budden was mad at that.
Exactly.
They think he mad at them and start squaring up and acting, you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
right,
first,
we started
all,
on that.
First of all, was Homeboy really rolling up the sleeves on that colorful ass shirt like he was?
Yes, he was.
I just couldn't.
Yeah, he was during the interview.
because you'll beat up an interviewer, you'll beat up a media member.
Are you serious, yeah, man? And when I saw that, I had to shake my head. I was like, man, this young fool gonna try to step up to Joe Budden when Joe Budden walked away? Because I don't want Joe Budden's like, listen, I don't want to hear this nonsense. I don't want to hear this.
The man asked him 15 times, huh, and they just saying crazy shit. And it's like, look, man, if y'all as gangsters as you say, go to your record label and beat the hell out of the person that signed you and get that contract changed. If you really
get a new shirt.
The person that's robbing you is right there.
Yeah,
exactly.
Get a new shirt because, you know, that's, again, they
you know, you hit a white man, you're going to jail.
We don't see it.
Yep.
Well, yeah, you
hit
that white exec, you're going to jail for a long time.
Yeah,
Clinton Portis, the running back for the used to be play for the damn Washington football team.
Right.
He found out that his agent and manager stole $11 million from him. To all you black people out there saying the players, they just are stupid. They don't invest. No, you invest with them people and they rob you. So he showed up at the office. He was gonna kill the dude, man. They had to get security and a psychologist and people to walk him out and calm him down. Because dude robbed him and got off scot-free. All he got was probation. Stole $11 million from that man.
Yeah, but let him have done that.
Paper
gangster. Let him have done that.
Paper gangster.
They would have built
exactly.
A jail. They would have built, exactly. Paper gangster. Let him have done
they
that.
They would
have
locked you up.
They would have made a jail. They would have made a jail for him. They would have made a jail for
him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He said they'd have made a jail for him. Exactly.
Well,
unbelievable.
But
in the media, the story's going to be Clinton Portis is bankrupt. These stupid black athletes waste their money. It's not going to be that these white managers and executives and agents are robbing them.
And then, you know what? That's why I continue to do this show. That's why I'm glad Hot Rod, who's on tomorrow tonight on tomorrow night, I believe at 10:30 p.m. with the Absolute Truth. On should you be jailed for burning the American flag? Because you know he had to go get daddy duty too. So just wanted to plug his show real quick. But the Sean Black, K Dog.
Yeah,
I do want to say this real quick. This is why I stress that we need more black media. This is why I'm glad he does his show, and that's why I'm glad I do my show. Because first of all, the thing is we don't have anything for us really. BET ain't for us. There's a lot of this stuff out here that's not for us, and we don't even own it.
It hasn't been for
us. We don't even run it. And I find a big problem with that, because until we start bringing some truth to ourselves, we'll believe anything.
We'll
believe anything.
Calling for the okie doke. Bob sold it for $1 billion. What's it worth now?
To everything, man.
What's it worth now?
Exactly. Well, I don't know what it's worth now, but I know I wouldn't watch it. I wouldn't watch it for nothing.
Well, when they had them EBT awards on the other night, I got so frustrated. I think my blood pressure went up when they going to put. I think they did something where they did a category for best group, and this is at the beginning of the show. I didn't want to watch it, but I just happened to be in the living room, and they put A Tribe Called Quest, Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz, and I don't know when the hell they became a group, and the Migos boys, and when the Migos boys went, I almost lost my mind in this house, because I'm like, why would you put A Tribe Called Quest? Why would you put A Tribe Called Quest in that category? They not like, are you serious? Like, why would you do that?
Right.
It just goes to show you, it's all about the industry, and they'll let you know we run this. We run this.
Right.
Not you can you go make your music, but we run this. So on that note,
hey, what did Tip say?
No, go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Your party.
I was just
gonna
say, what did Tip say? Way back in the day, industry rule number 4,000.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
On that note, thank you, brother Nas, for gracing us with your presence. Thank you for calling.
Yeah,
later,
man.
K-Dog.
No problem, man. Later, y'all.
You know what I'm saying? All right, everybody have a good night.
All right. Later,
brother
guys.
Brother D,
tomorrow.
Another episode in the can.
Good chopping it up with y'all.
Absolute Truth, y'all, 10:30.
Good hanging out,
Rock Talk Radio. All right,
later,
y'all.
All right, later.
Peace.
Peace out.